Centurion Fellowship as we continue on here looking at the doctrine of the grace apparatus for perception, the ability for men to ascertain, discern, or perceive the spiritual realities of God's plan. Roman numeral 4, page 3 of our notes. We'll here look at the mechanisms that which construes what the apparatus is for the function of gap. The apparatus and gap looks to the system of spiritual perception as a whole. B, however, two distinct spiritual mechanisms operate to facilitate the function of gap. One, that's God the Holy Spirit, and two, the human spirit, also known as the new man or self or inner man. Romans 7:22, and our study in Peter is, I believe, at least giving me additional insight of the importance of the human spirit in regards to our existence and spiritual well-being, as well as matriculation. Romans 7:22, Paul states, "For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man." We call the human spirit doctrine man, as was designed, as set apart to the truth and the righteousness, to gap the truth of Bible doctrine. 2 Corinthians 4:16. "Therefore do not lose heart, but though our outer man," that's our human physical bodies, the flesh, "is decaying," obviously the process of birth is constantly leading to eventual destruction of the body and its decay as you get older, "yet our inner man there is the human spirit, is being renewed day by day." Ephesians 3:16. Verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father in thanksgiving, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, the believers at Ephesus, according to their own positive volition, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man," denoting the function of the Holy Spirit in conjunction with our human spirit. And 4:24, as we are told, to put on the new man or the new self, which in likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness or loyalty to the truth, of the truth, Colossians 3:10. Same concept, "and have put on the new man, who is being renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him." So we, the believer has thus been endowed with a new spiritual dimension in life and is a new creature in trichotomy. We are now no longer just a soul and body, but we are trichotomous. We have a human spirit, a new spiritual dimension, a dimension that is divine in nature in regards to its attributes and its very own essence. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ," based on positional truth, sanctified through faith, phase one, being in Christ, he is a new creature. How are you a new creature? You've been given a human spirit. You have a nature now that is totally opposite of the old sin nature, the old man. "The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." Compare, again, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, preserving us in spirit, soul, and body. So if the human spirit has the capacity to be, quote, renewed, end quote, after the initial birth, Again, 2 Corinthians, as we saw there, in 4:16, that our inner man is being renewed day by day. Obviously, regeneration denotes an initial renewal. It's at the point of salvation, that is the producing of the human spirit through God the Holy Spirit. But it also has the capabilities and capacity to be renewed after the fact. And what is that renewing? That's utilizing the human spirit for the purpose of GAP, so you can grow up spiritually. Colossians 3:10, as we saw there. As we've seen there before. Yeah, I saw there. The new self, the new man, who is being renewed. Now, what's the avenue of this renewal? To a true knowledge, according to the one who created him. So the human spirit is produced for us, given to us, for the purpose, several purposes. It's that which is our passport to heaven, it's eternal. It is righteous in nature, and it is set apart to take in the spiritual information of Bible doctrine for us to understand it in regards to our Christian life, and again to grow up spiritually. So the human spirit has the capacity to be renewed after the initial birth. It is the Holy Spirit that is instrumental in the renewing process. And that is not only in the aspect of its initial regeneration, or the renewing of the Spirit that man lost it in the garden, in Adam and Eve, and their spiritual death, and sin and life, but it is also instrumental in regards to this phase two issues of existence and function. And Titus 3:5, again the verse that we've looked at a couple times recently. He saved us not on the basis of works which we have done in righteousness. He's telling us salvation is not by works, not by being good, or what we do physically to be good. It's a grace proposition. And that grace proposition is according to His mercy. That's grace applied. It's salvation by faith apart from works, of which we then are given God's righteousness. And it's imputed to us. That's the terminology, the theology. It means it has been reckoned or accounted to us, accredited to us. God's righteousness has been accredited to us. And the agency in regards to this comes through the process of regeneration, by the washing of regeneration, the cleansing action of this new nature that we're given with plus R accredited or inherent in it. The plus R in the accounting process looks to the faith accredited to our account in the book of life, as I see it. And the regeneration is part of the process, the means or the agency by which righteousness is given to us, and renewing by the Holy Spirit. And renewing, obviously, here what it emphasizes the phase one context has phase two applications. And He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, justification is directly parallel to the imputation of plus R. And we're therefore now justified before God of having God's righteousness in the truth of Bible doctrine sufficient to get us into heaven, as well as having a divine nature necessary to gap God's Word as believers and to function appropriately in the Christian life, that we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. How much you inherit as an heir is dependent upon how you deal with this new man, the human spirit that you're given at the point of salvation. Whether or not you nourish it through the truth of Bible doctrine, as Peter has been dealing with, and maintain it, take care of it, feed it, utilize it, exercise it, application of doctrine, etc. All that we would perceive in terms of language of accommodation of a baby growing up to become a mature adult. And so it is in regards to our human spirit. For Jesus Christ went to the cross and forfeited his human spirit under spiritual death, of which human spirit basically was removed from his physical body, given to God as token for his righteousness, as his body took on the judgments for the sins of mankind. And he did that to pay the debt, our sin debt, and provides for us in salvation now our own human spirit that, again, mankind lost in the garden. And we are this new creature. We do have this new spiritual dimension. But the sad fact is that most believers disregard, if you will, in hatred, this new spiritual birth, this new spiritual being that is now part of our existence in regards to its very, if you will, potential and reason why we have been given it. And that is so that it can function in correlation with God the Holy Spirit, so that we can grow up spiritually, so that we can discern simply through the filling of God the Holy Spirit, of which He empowers us in isolation, the STA. He can derive through the human spirit the truth of Bible doctrine, of which it absorbs all this truth, keeps it intact. The indication is basically our record of being in fellowship that we will carry with us as we go into phase 3, the application of doctrine, etc. And all, again, for the purpose for us to grow up spiritually. And there's only one food that can nourish and provide the nutrients in regards to the human spirit based on its nature. And that is righteousness and the truth of Bible doctrine combined. And righteousness demands the filling of the Holy Spirit to plug in and activate it. And now the gap process has been activated. But gap is not finished until you feed the human spirit. And the human spirit must be fed with the truth of Bible doctrine. That's why it's set apart for the truth of doctrine. And there is a framework in regards to how the gap process is supposed to work with respect to the believer priest in employing their human spirit for its designed purpose, which we will deal with in the doctrine. And when you get in fellowship and you absorb the doctrine as you're being fed with it, gapping the information, and then you take it and apply it, utilizing the nature of the human spirit in your own Christian life, you constantly renew the human spirit, and it grows, if you will. But it's all done in compliance with God the Holy Spirit. So, H, the human spirit is designed to enable the thinking of man to comprehend the spiritual realities of God's plan. Our brain is made of flesh. So it has, it's part of its DNA, inherent in it, the STA. But as our brain is where our thought processes obviously evolve from. And the human spirit is designed to enable our brain computer to think in comprehension of the spiritual realities that God the Holy Spirit is enlightening to us in the truth of doctrine. Compare 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians 13. So here we're using 1 Corinthians 13, 14, and 15. We're using Paul's example here in regards to our thinking and the design purpose of spiritual enlightenment, the ministry of God the Holy Spirit here, as it particularly relates to gifts of communication. And one of the gifts of communication was the gift of tongues. And he says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." In other words, what good does it do you to be able to do the things of God in power, supernatural as they may be, if it's not benefiting and advancing you in regards to your thinking with respect to the plan of God? In other words, the temporary gift of tongues is the ability to speak in a bona fide foreign language without training. And people that spoke in tongues, they get in fellowship. They recognize the fact that they're in fellowship, and obviously their spirit is edified based on that. But what real benefit is that if the person sitting next to you doesn't understand what you're saying? How does that edify them? How does that edify anybody apart from the individual knowing that they're in fellowship?
Yeah, I mean, I was in fellowship. You hear that?
You know? And obviously, the part that I'm bringing out here is the spirit. See, my spirit, that's his human spirit. That's where his doctrine is coming from in regards to it. The connection between it and our thinking. And in verse 15, for what is the outcome then? I shall pray with the Spirit, and I shall pray with the mind also. I shall sing with the Spirit, I shall sing with the mind also. When it's done appropriately, according to divine design, anyone that speaks in tongues, Paul put down the protocol that you've got to have an interpreter so people can be edified by this. Because obviously, you've got to comprehend these things intellectually in regards to your own person for these things to be edifying. And that is the connection there between the brain, our brain computer, and the human spirit. The human spirit provides our intellect the ability to comprehend the things of God. And again, Ephesians 4:23, where the purpose of isolation of the STA, verse 22, is that you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Plug in under the filling of God the Holy Spirit. Rebound. You're in fellowship. When you do that, you activate your human spirit. And the purpose, part of the purpose of activating the human spirit is so that we, in spite of an STA damaged brain computer, can assimilate this information undistorted. It's part of our new makeup, divine makeup, for our thinking to comprehend the plan of God. So, how it interfaces, I can't tell you that exactly. I consider it definitely interfaces in regards to God the Holy Spirit and how God the Holy Spirit interfaces with us. But it definitely has a direct impact in regards to our brain computer. And it provides us the ability to assimilate this information undistorted by the STA, probably in the higher brain stem, along with God the Holy Spirit. That's what is generally perceived. So the human spirit is designed to enable the thinking of the man to comprehend the spiritual realities of God's plan. You're a believer, you got one of these, whether you act like it or not. See. You have a human spirit. You have this new spiritual dimension and nature that enables you to gap this information when you're in fellowship and discern these things. So, it is the spiritual makeup of the believer, allowing him or her to interface with God the Holy Spirit under his filling ministry, to be filled with God the Holy Spirit. That's what we're commanded to do, Ephesians 5:18, who is obviously the ultimate communicator of Bible doctrine. It's our nature that interfaces, parallels, if you will, correlates with God the Holy Spirit and his divine nature, enabling us to, in our persons, gap the truth of Bible doctrine. 1 John 2:27. And as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. That's anointing, that's God the Holy Spirit, is indwelling, filling ministries. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. And he's not saying that you don't need to go to Bible class, you don't need to go to church. You've got to put this in context of the rest of the doctrine that fills us in as we went through John and we dealt with this. But it's a notice that he provides the mechanism or power in order for us to perceive in regards to Bible doctrine. And that is interfaced with our human spirit that is part of our now new makeup. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is genuine and is not a lie, and just as it's taught you, you abide in him. Abide, being technical, therefore the filling with the Holy Spirit. So the human spirit is the spiritual makeup of the believer, allowing him or her to interface with God the Holy Spirit under his filling ministry, who is the ultimate communicator of Bible doctrine. This is how GAP works in regards to its mechanisms, its entities. J, the believer, must empower the human spirit for GAP to work. It doesn't do it on its own. It's dependent upon our own volition to plug in, and then it's dependent on God the Holy Spirit in regards to His filling ministry for it to operate and function appropriately in regards to our life. So you got to empower it. How do you empower it? That's K. The empowering is dependent upon, one, isolation of the sin nature, also known as filling the Holy Spirit through the rebound technique of 1 John 1:9. Two, this is seen in the commands to lay aside the old man, which is the indwelling STA, and put on the new man. How do you do that? What's the mechanics? Same mechanics as filled with God the Holy Spirit. See? Again, Ephesians 4:22. That in reference to your manner, former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, the old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Then verse 24, and put on the new man. For the purpose of that you can be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 23. And then Colossians 3:9, same thing, compare verse 10. So three, this complies with the nature of the new man as righteousness. You're filled with God the Holy Spirit. You've isolated the sin nature. Again, Ephesians 4:24. And activates operation GAP. Compare James 1:21. James teaches the same principle in his own words. And therefore, putting aside all filthiness, that's sin, personal sin of life, and all of wickedness in humility. And humility is getting under the filling of God the Holy Spirit, employing your new divine nature, your new man. Receive the word implanted, which is able to deliver your souls. That's your phase two deliverance, a total complete deliverance, deliverance at the bema seat from shame, etc. Where is it implanted at? In your human spirit. Obviously, your soul, recognize your brain computer retains it, etc. So, to empower it, to activate it, you got to get in fellowship. This then complies with the nature of the new man as righteous and activates the GAP aspect of our lives. And four, the believer must then pursue the intake of Bible doctrine and complete the GAP process. And that's exactly what Peter's been dealing with as we've been going through that. The whole issue and subject and theme here in regards to this section of Peter, ending verse chapter 1 going into chapter 2, is the importance of regeneration in regards to our application towards one another in divine love. What is your human spirit? It's a product of divine love. It's a product of the love that Jesus Christ has borne to the cross so you could have one and cancel out the spiritual death that obviously shadows over every unbeliever. And to have the human spirit and have this new divine nature, so that then we can go in and obviously serve God. And by example, he gives us the GAP process and how it works with respect to the regeneration. That's chapter 2, verses 2 through 3 there, or 2, 1 and 2. Therefore, putting aside. See, it's the same language, isolation of the STA. And he gives a list of STA vices, here in particular in regards to the persecution and testing that they were under, all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and jealousies and all slander. And then what's the second aspect in regards to having this human spirit? This has been set aside for the truth of doctrine, the holiness of truth, and loyalty to the truth. And how are you going to get that? Well, you got to go to Bible class. You got to be in Bible class. You got to feed it. See, like newborn babes long for the pure milk of the Word, the spiritual nourishment of the Word, the spiritual nourishment that comes from Bible doctrine that facilitates the spiritual nature of our human spirit. And we just went through these verses. That by it you may grow in respect to salvation. What's the purpose? To grow up spiritually. and to serve God. So just getting in fellowship, okay, that's one thing. But obviously, your human spirit needs to be edified. It needs to be built up. And you can't do that apart from Bible doctrine. And you have the framework in regards to Bible doctrine in this respect that we've got to follow for the GAP system to function appropriately in our dispensation. And that's through the local church. Through the proper communication, your right shepherd, your right pastor teacher. If you live in this particular area of Colorado, okay, let's go there. Snow season's coming up, we'll go skiing. If you live in this particular area in regards to Ohio, I happen to be your right pastor, whether you recognize it or not. It's not your parents, you know, unless you're living at home, obviously you're under their authority. But as your spiritual shepherd, ultimately, obviously, that's my responsibility. Not any other family members. You know, friends or anything of this nature. It's not the boob tube. I'm the shepherd that God put here. In regards to teaching sound doctrine, there's a lot of shepherds out there. Wherever there's a church, there's a shepherd. But is it your right shepherd? You know, are they being faithful to the truth of Bible doctrine? They are. And they teach you at a depth of understanding so you can mature and fulfill God's plan for your life. I have no problem with that. Unfortunately, I haven't run across any of them. From whatever I've heard, and there's people that's been out and looked around in the past, you know, when maybe the church was without a shepherd for a while, etc. So, you know, that's just the system. You want to deny the system, you want to reject the system, well, then you shut down the GAP process. You starve your new man. You take your new infant that you were given and you treat it like crap. That's why I like to put things. That's what you do. It's just like a parent with a child not even willing to feed their kid. You know, that's your most basic needs in regards to the human spirit, is to feed it, at least feed it. And how much you exercise it, obviously, that's going to take commitment. On top of it, that's application of doctrine. So it grows up to be healthy and strong. And obviously, you know, everybody's so concerned about how they look in time physically. How about how you're going to look in eternity before Jesus Christ at the bema seat? What's your human spirit going to look like, obviously? This is language of accommodation. Our human spirit's going to basically appear the same. But, you know, is it going to be one that's presented in regards to a full, healthy, spiritual adult? Or is it going to be, well, you carried that thing around for all those years and it's still just an infant? You know, or you stunted its growth? Blah, blah, blah. And you can take the visuals and apply it. Peter's very colorful in regards to his teaching, his theological teaching. These pastoral metaphors that he likes to use. You can tell he hung out with Jesus, you know, in regards to his teaching. So, you pursue then, you got to complete the GAP process, and that demands that you pursue the intake of doctrine. So, 5, then this complies with the nature of the new man and set apart for the truth. It's that simple. It's that easy. It's righteous in nature, and it's been dedicated, set apart for the truth of doctrine, to its loyalty, complete loyalty. 6, omission of either of these elements, and there is no GAP. It's about God the Holy Spirit and activation of the human spirit. All right, now Roman numeral 5. Here we'll deal with the psychikos man, the natural man, the dichotomous believer, or individual, not believer. Unbelievers, dichotomous. A, the unbeliever in the realm of spiritual death was ruled by the genetic STA at all times. A necessity they have to, because they have no true spiritual nature. They have no true spiritual nature. Whatever spiritual nature they have is the spirit of the world, which is the spirits of demons. Romans 5:21. That as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The sin nature is what actually reigns. Sin nature can do nothing to produce anything but sin. Okay. And it reigns in spiritual death as unbelievers. So B, due to a lack of human spirit as well as a lack of the indwelling Holy Spirit, he is completely, the individual, incapable of discerning anything of a spiritual nature. 7, the only exception, there is an exception, to this occurs at the point of gospel hearing, when the Holy Spirit clearly presents the issues related to salvation under his convicting ministry. Or the aspect of God the Holy Spirit and his ministry during the church, as John 16:7-9 brings out, is to convict men in regards to the sin of unbelief, as well as righteousness, etc. The need for righteousness. So, for the unbeliever, when the gospel presentation is presented, God the Holy Spirit intercedes on behalf of their lack of having a spiritual nature to comprehend the issues at hand and the reality of these things. And the person is therefore convicted, if you will, recognizing that I need salvation. How can they be convicted and still reject? Sure. But you have the intercession of God the Holy Spirit, and that brings out the principle. This is the only doctrine that the unbeliever can understand or get. If you're dealing with an unbeliever, you're just really spinning your wheels if you're trying to explain to them all the issues and living the Christian life, and they're not even a Christian yet. If you're dealing with a believer that's out of fellowship, you're really spinning your wheels trying to argue anything in regards to Christian life either, unless they're going to get in fellowship, as far as I'm concerned. Are you going to beat your head against a brick wall? You go out of fellowship. That's exactly the way it is a lot of times, what you think when you're talking to them. Man, it's like I'm beating my head against a brick wall. Because they're not employed under the proper nature of their person. You're filling God the Holy Spirit to truly appreciate and understand where you're coming from. Any other spiritual information that comes his way does not receive a welcome reception. Again, 1 Corinthians 2:14. We've looked at it. I haven't looked at this one yet. But a natural man, what's a natural man? That's your psychikos man. It's just a person with a soul and a body. Doesn't have a human spirit. Or in regards to a believer, someone who is only employing their soul and body and not employing their human spirit. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. That's part of the judgment on negative volition. Doctrine would be clearly articulated and simply articulated. The people under their SCA, they won't accept these things because they're negative volition. They reject it. And how do they appear to the person? For they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. This whole aspect of sitting in Bible class and listening to different information and fellowship, that means a lot more than what a lot of times people give it credit for. So, to the natural man, the soul man, one is just a body and soul especially. Like I said, first session, what we are, what we do, and what we stand for, it's just silly to them. You don't have to do that to be a good Christian. You can go anywhere and get entertained. Why go to church there? You go to church down here and go to their singles meetings and meet people and girls and have relationships and, anything else they can do to reel in the numbers, warm bodies. Be entertained with music, their bands with their long-haired singers in many cases. Butchering the truth of Bible doctrine in their words of song, and people think this stuff is cool. To an adjusted believer, it makes you want to puke. I appreciate a good song, doctrinal song, and I'm not after anybody in particular that writes it or whatever, but most of the stuff you have out there in the funny world is nothing but a bunch of crap. I've listened to it. It's all emotional. It's nothing but fundyism. It's lukewarmness. Truth and error. While he, the person here, may have any sort of bent or bias, whether it be religious, philosophical, scientific, etc., what he bases his human experience and evaluation of these things is, his evaluation of divine viewpoint is that it is foolish. Gee, he may cover his thoughts with polite comments, but he finds the information silly. It's not serious to them. And I say silly, I don't mean that they're going to sit there and laugh in your face. They don't take it serious. So if you don't take something serious, well, then you just write it off as foolishness or silliness. H, in fact, he is totally unable to understand or grasp the information since it requires a spiritual apparatus that he does not possess. The wisdom of the Sukhikos types is linked with the earthly scheme of things and demonic thinking. And we dealt with that in James 3:15. When we went through James. If you're operating on your sin nature, understand this. If you're allowing the flesh to govern your thinking, which examples here, flesh as it expresses itself under like bitter jealousy or selfish ambition in your heart. He tells you, verse 15, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above. So there's wisdom associated with SE activity. Knowledge. But it's not from God. It's not the knowledge that God sponsors. And he tells us the realm of which this wisdom comes from, but it is earthly. That's what we would refer to as human viewpoint. Human viewpoint is anything in contradiction to the truth of God's Word. Distorts it in any way. Natural, that means it comes from your flesh, the sin nature. And it's demonic, that denotes the doctrines that are appealed to coming from the rulers of this world under Satan and his army of demons that promote all this human viewpoint garbage to distract people and get them away from the truth of Bible doctrine. So obviously the Sukhikos type falls right into this. And that's the way they operate all the time, unbelievers. So one, earthly refers to the cosmic system of things as established by men under the STA, in contrast to that which comes from heaven, the true manna from heaven. Two, natural refers to the fact that the soul is under the rule of the indwelling STA, which has a natural affinity for human viewpoint thinking. Three, demonic reflects the fact that this is how demons think and operate. Until you get on doctrine, you just don't really recognize the gravity of running under your STA, do you? All you're doing is emulating Satan and everything that he promotes under the doctrine of demons when you follow a human viewpoint in regards to your life, whether you're a believer or not. Jay, this sort of person, whether a believer, as in James, or an unbeliever, as in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2:15, cannot accurately evaluate the positive believer under the gap system that possesses the viewpoint of Christ. He'll take issue with him. And it will not really accurately critique and draw from the positive believer, the positive adjusted believer's viewpoint in regards to things. They look at you and they don't know what to think, generally speaking. Well, maybe they'll get to heaven. Maybe they're a Christian, you know, or whatever. They just don't really understand our mindset. They don't understand our priorities. Because they don't understand doctrine. To them, it's stupid that you would separate from somebody. Well, stupid is and stupid does. You know? People live Bible class, you know. They scream out because people are separating from us because we left Bible class. No, you separated first. You drew first blood. You said this to doctrine. That was quick, wasn't it? Righteous indignation, sometimes it brings out the colorful side of me. But that's exactly what they're doing. Fortunately, that's not on the tape. People will listen to the class and the deal. I'll give them a thumbs down. So, this person, this sort of person, and I don't do these things to try to intentionally offend people. If you know me, you know that. But if it communicates, damn it, I'll say it or I'll do it. If I'm going to get my point across. And sometimes you just got to. Sometimes you need to start putting your foot down and saying, hey, this is doctrine. Quit running amok. Quit trying to rationalize it. Get your human spirit and treat that thing with the courtesy and the love of which it was given to you. Instead of letting your stupid little STA run your life. You know? K, you completely lack a frame of reference and apparatus to do so. L, there is no spiritual dimension within this person for understanding. I'll leave you with that. We'll pick this up a week from Tuesday. Right? No. Oh. Okay, if you all show up Tuesday and I'm not here. Somebody shot me for giving them the sign, maybe. All right, Tuesday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit lighten us these things. In this Bible class, safe and sound in Jesus' name. Amen.